With INO, Iran has marked its first giant leap in space exploration and has fairly entered the world space race. The telescope's builders are now thrilled to announce that they will soon release more stunning images of deep space, hoping to help the world catch a glimpse of the wonders of our universe. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
This is a part of political divine will of the founder of Islamic Republic of Iran, Imam Khomeini. Recently, satanic superpowers, by implying anti-Islamic governments, have deceptively attached themselves to Islam, have published their beautifully designed Qurans and dispatch volumes all over the world for the sole purpose of the forcing out of the Holy Quran from the scene and thus attaining their satanic objectives. One of the examples that we all observe is the Quran published by Muhammad Reza Pahlavi and thereby succeeded in deceiving some people, including a few Muslim clerics and preachers who, being unaware of the aims of Islam, praised him for it. Now we witness Fahd, the kings of other countries, spent regularly enormous sums of the people's wealth on publishing certain versions of the Holy Quran and supporting anti-Quranic ideas to propagate the baseless and superstitious dogmas of Wahhabis.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the prayers. In one of his speeches, Imam Khomeini has said that the holding of the Friday congregational prayers is one of the blessings of this movement and revolution. Now, in this part of his speech, obviously, he is pointing out an important thing, that since we know that in the Shia school of thought, at the time of the occultation of the Imam of the time, people can choose to either pray the Friday prayer or the Dhuhr prayer. And the Friday prayer is not obligatory as it is at the time of Imam. Therefore, we have seen that in the history, there were some time where people were not going for the Friday prayer, or there was no Friday prayer, but the people were individually praying the Dhuhr prayer. But since this revolution has happened, and this government or this state is being given to the hands of someone who is the representative of Imam, which is known as Mujtahid or Marja or Faqih. On top of that, since this state has been governed by a jurisprudence, and this governorship of jurisprudence is known as Velayat al-Faqih, therefore, it is necessary for people to join the Friday prayer, to Friday congregational prayers. And this is one of the barakat, one of the blessings of this revolution.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi. Sallallahu alayhi. Salli ala.
Now people can go towards this important prayer, with this important tradition of the Islam, which is the Friday congregational prayer. And this is what Imam Khomeini is saying, that this is one of the blessings of this movement and revolution.
Therefore, now it is the time that people can offer these Friday prayers freely. And this is one of the blessings which was taken away and forcefully, obviously, by the enemies. And now, since we are free to perform or practice Islam, the practice Shia school of thought, Shiism, therefore, we can now have freely the Friday prayers as well.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
In the limelight.
Heat waves have become an unavoidable health hazard for many nations, but new data indicates that they are set to affect virtually every child on Earth by 2050, the UN's Children's Fund, UNICEF, has warned. In this regard, we have taken a look at some world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for more. The website of Common Dreams wrote, at least 559 million children worldwide are already exposed to frequent heat waves, a number that could hit 2.2 billion by 2050, according to a United Nations report published recently. The UN Children's Fund publication, The Coldest Year of the Rest of Their Lives, Protecting Children from the Escalating Impacts of Heat Waves, comes as governments that support the Paris Climate Agreement prepare for the COP27 summit in Egypt. Noting the November summit, the report calls on world leaders to reduce the threat of heat waves or any period of at least 3 consecutive days when the maximum temperature is in the top 10% of the local 50-day average by ambitiously increasing action to limit global temperature rise. In addition to high frequency, an average of 4.5 or more heat waves per year, the report warns of the rising threat of extreme high temperatures, or at least 83.54 days that top 35 degrees Celsius, as well as events that are high in duration, meaning they last 4.7 days or longer, and severity, which is when the temperatures are 2 degrees Celsius or more above the local 15-day average. At least 624 million children are currently exposed to one of the other 3 high heat measures, a scenario that UNICEF says will worsen over the next 3 decades. The mercury is rising and so are the impacts on children, said Catherine Russell, UNICEF's executive director, in a statement, adding, already 1 in 3 children live in countries that face extreme high temperatures, and almost 1 in 4 children are exposed to high heat wave frequency, and it is only going to get worse. She continued, more children will be impacted by longer, hotter, and more frequent heat waves over the next 30 years, threatening their health and well-being. How devastating these changes will be depends on the actions we take now. While Paris Agreement parties aim to limit global temperature rise this century to 1.5 degrees Celsius compared with pre-industrial levels,
The UNICEF report examines the heat risks for children under two scenarios for average warming by 2050. Increases of 1.7 degrees Celsius and 2.4 degrees Celsius. Children in northern regions will face the most dramatic increases in high heat wave severity, while by 2050, nearly half of all children in Africa and Asia will face sustained exposure to extreme high temperatures, the document restates, highlighting that almost every country is experiencing changing heat waves. As the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs and the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies pointed out earlier this month, in addition to children, agricultural workers, casual laborers, the elderly, migrants, and pregnant and breastfeeding people face a higher risk of illness and death from rising temperatures. The groups noted that projected future death rates from extreme heat are staggeringly high, comparable in magnitude by the end of the century to all cancers or all infectious diseases, and staggeringly unequal, with people in poorer countries seeing far greater levels of increase. Given the dangers, the UNICEF report stresses that going into COP27, governments must protect children from climate devastation by adapting social services, prepare children to live in a climate-changed world, prioritize children and young people in climate finance and resources, and prevent a climate catastrophe by drastically reducing greenhouse gas emissions and keep 1.5 degrees Celsius alive. Echoing the document's call to action, Russell said that at a minimum, government must urgently limit global heating to 1.5 degrees Celsius and double adaptation funding by 2025. This is the only way to save children's lives and futures and the future of the planet. The new publication was produced in collaboration with the Data for Children Collaborative and launched in partnership with Vanessa Nakate, a Ugandan youth climate leader and UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, and the Africa-based Rise Up movement she founded. Nakate said the climate shocks of 2022 provided a strong wake-up call about the increasing danger hurtling towards us. Heat waves are a clear example. As hot as this year has been in almost every corner of the world, it will likely be the coldest year of the rest of our lives. The dial is being turned up on our planet, and yet our world leaders haven't begun to sweat. The only option is for us to continue to turn up the heat on them to correct the course we are on, she argued. World leaders must do this at COP27 for children everywhere, but especially the most vulnerable children in the most affected places. Nakata warned, unless they take action, this report makes it clear that heat waves will become even harsher than they are already destined to be. Guardian also wrote, the climate crisis is also a children's rights crisis. One in four children globally are already affected by the climate emergency, and by 2050, virtually every child in every region will face more frequent heat waves, according to a new UNICEF report. For hundreds of millions of children, heat waves will also last longer and be more extreme, increasing the threat of death, disease, hunger, and forced migration. The findings come less than a fortnight before the COP27 UN climate talks, get underway in Egypt, and after a catastrophic year of extreme events, heat waves, storms, floods, fires, and droughts have demonstrated the speed and magnitude of the climate breakdown facing the planet. According to UNICEF, 559 million children currently endure at least 4 to 5 dangerous heat waves annually, but the number will quadruple to 2 billion by 2050, even if global heating is curtailed to 1.7 degrees, currently the best-case scenario on the table. In the worst-case scenario, a 2.4-degree rise caused by burning too many fossil fuels for too long, an estimated 94% of children will be exposed to prolonged heat waves lasting at least 4.7 days by 2050, compared with 1 in 4 children right now. In this climate nightmare, only small areas of South America, Central Africa, Oceania, and Asia will escape dangerously long hot spells. Children and infants are less able to regulate their body temperature, making them more vulnerable to the pervasive impacts of extreme and prolonged heat than adults. This includes a myriad of health problems such as asthma, cardiovascular diseases, and even death. Additionally, as intense that exacerbates drought, it can also reduce access to food and water, which can stunt development and increase exposure to violence and conflict if families are forced to migrate. Studies have also shown that extreme heat negatively affects children's concentration and learning abilities. The hotter the planet gets, the more catastrophic the consequences. UNICEF researchers examined the potential exposure to 3 heat measures, including duration, severity, and frequency, based on 2 greenhouse gas scenarios used by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change for climate models. They found in 2020 there were around 740 million children in 23 countries where temperatures topped 35 degrees Celsius on at least 84 days. Under the worst-case scenario, this will rise to 816 million children living in 36 countries, mostly in Asia and Africa. In such heat, day-to-day activities like play and school are compromised, and more children fall sick or die. Children in Europe will have the highest exposure to severe heat waves by 2050, 1 in 3 in the best-case scenario, 2 in 3 in the worst-case scenario. In the Americas, exposure to severe heat waves will rise fivefold from 13 million to 62 million children in 2050. By 2050, 5 million to 8 million children will be exposed to all 3 high heat measures compared with none in 2020.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, knowing the laws of leaking secrets. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the ways of keeping secret, but from the perspective of knowing the laws of leaking secrets. And obviously, when we see the Islamic teachings, we see that Islam gives importance to the secrets that we have, and therefore it does not allow us to leak other secrets. But one of the ways why the people are obviously they don't care about the secrets of the others or others' personal life, it is because they are unaware. They're not acknowledged about that. And one of the ways is to know the danger, to know the loss that is waiting for us or for the community or for the others if we leak secrets, if people start leaking the secrets of each other, if people start backbiting each other, what will happen? The first thing that happens is that the society will no more be secure. It brings insecurity in the society. It brings insecurity amongst the friends, between the family members, among the family members. So no one will feel secure while sharing his feelings, his things, or maybe if he has a problem, even if it is not a secret, but obviously he at this point he does not want to share it, he does not want others to know such thing. The people will not share things, the people will not ask or for the advice if they feel that the others will not keep their secrets or the things that they are sharing. So the first thing that a society or people in their relations they will face is having insecurity amongst them. Therefore, we need to keep secret and we should know about the danger of leaking secrets. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the ways of keeping secrets, and we said that one of the ways of keeping secret is to know about the danger and the loss of leaking secrets. So the first thing that generally a society face is that everyone will feel insecure and the society will become insecure if people are not keeping the secrets of each other. The second thing is that we become captive and we become imprisoned of the secrets. As Imam Ali alayhi salam has said that when you have a secret, this secret is your captive, or you have made something imprisoned in your custody. It's in your custody. But if the secret has been leaked out, then obviously we'll become the captive of this secret. We will become the prisoner of this secret, because once we have imprisoned the secret, we had it in our heart, we shared it with others to keep it. But once it has been leaked, then now we have no secret and obviously everyone know about us. So this is what Imam has said. Therefore, one of the consequences, one of the dangers, it brings the insecurity. Number two, it makes you a prisoner if it is leaked. Therefore, we can see in the history there were many things, there were many secrets, or maybe there were highly secure things which should not be leaked. But when they were leaked, obviously the other countries they conquered. Maybe like they invaded the other countries because of knowing their secrets. So this is important that we should know about the consequences and the danger of leaking secrets. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
They're back as India has released several of them into the grasslands of Kuna National Park after a 70-year absence in the country. The 8 radio-coloured African cheetahs made the long journey from Namibia. The big cats were released during a ceremony by Prime Minister Narendra Modi that coincided with his birthday. After their acclimation in the national park, they will be released into a 5-hectare spread of land in central India, covered by grassland and forest. The felines will share the landscape with other animals and roam with leopards, sloths and striped hyenas. Their reintroduction is the culmination of a 13-year effort to restore the species, which vanished from the country decades ago. Another 12 cheetahs are expected to join the fledgling Indian population next month from South Africa. With more funding, the country hopes to gradually increase the population of cheetahs to around 40.
Many people of the world are supported almost completely by animals because they live in areas unsuitable for animal husbandry. But these days, even some city dwellers are making their living out of animals, like a Virginia girl. Andrea Diaz quit her job at a restaurant and started to rent her pet alpacas to cheer up steer crazy Americans during the pandemic. Since the launch of her business in 2020, it has expanded from 2 to 14 alpacas. Interestingly, 5 with fluffy pets are regularly making a paid appearance at birthdays, weddings, restaurants, and offices. She charges a starting price of $95 per hour. Diaz says the best part is when there are kids' birthday parties, but even it's really a fun for the adults. She calls alpacas a good exposure because they attract people. If you enjoy street art, then you'll probably like Iztapalapa district in Mexico's capital city. Nearly 300 neighborhoods in this area are beautifully painted with brightly colored murals for all to enjoy. Visitors can also ride a cable car and take a tour of the art from above. The district is home to nearly 7,000 murals and graffiti painted on all sorts of surfaces, including rooftops. Iztapalapa Murals is a project that was promoted by the Mexico City's mayor in 2018. The goal of the project was to recover and dignify public spaces through art and involve neighbors in its creation and conservation. Iztapalapa is one of the poorest municipalities in the capital, and the initiative aims to reduce neighborhood violence through public lighting of the murals during the night.
It is never too late to learn a new skill. That's what 100-year-old Nada Rudan has shown with her art when she discovered her love for painting at the age of 87. The Bosnian native says she started to paint to keep herself busy, and now she finds the days are often too short to fit in everything she wanted to do. The artist paints for 3 hours in the morning and 2 hours in the afternoon without glasses. Rudan marked her 100th birthday with an exhibition of all the works that she has painted over the years.
My 100th birthday, I've celebrated it at sea. That was really a big event for me. Before that, I had an exhibition that I didn't hope for. But my children persuaded me. I was against it. I'm not an artist. I said, children, don't embarrass me.
She says she's inspired by nature and her travel around the globe. Rudan has lived in numerous areas such as Central America, Hawaii Islands, Europe, and the Asian Himalayas, among many other places. The artist survived both World War II and the siege of Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb forces. Iran's Kish Island is known as the paradise of the Persian Gulf. Our correspondent Yusuf Jalali has been to the stunning southern Iranian resort island and has filed this report about its beautiful attractions.
It's Snowland at the heart of a scorching but amazing island. This snow town is one of the latest entertainment centers in Iran's Kish Island in the Persian Gulf. Every year, some 2 million visitors from inside and outside Iran visit the island to enjoy its attractions, from its entertainment centers to its stunning beach.
The beach and the pier in Kish are really peaceful and tranquilizing. It's the third time I'm visiting the island, and I went parasailing, water skiing, and I'm planning to go scuba diving.
Kish Island offers all kinds of sea entertainment activities, from scuba diving to sailing, and oh yes, flyboarding. Besides sea sports, visitors can enjoy its amusement parks and a range of leisure activities inside the island. And if you're a tireless window shopper, Kish is a land of malls and shopping centers.
Kish is an amazing island. It used to be an abandoned island some 3 decades ago, but today it is a luxurious tourist resort with modern buildings and exciting recreational places.
Despite all the pleasure one can have in Kish, the island still has many shortcomings. The major issue annoying visitors is the poor accommodation services.
Hotel facilities and services are a bit weak given the large number of tourists that visit this island. They need to pay more attention to the accommodation infrastructure.
Just a few hundred kilometers away from Kish, there's a tourist magnet in the United Arab Emirates, Dubai, which absorbs the chunk of foreign tourists. While U.S. sanctions on Iran are a major factor to blame for Kish lagging behind in its rivalry with Dubai, the island's officials believe it still has a chance to win the game of tourism against Dubai.
If we want to excel, it is not going to be a tough job. We need to work on 2 major areas. The first is the infrastructure, and the second is regulations that would allow tourists or investors to easily come to Kish to entertain themselves or do business.
Situated off the southern coast of Iran in the Persian Gulf, Kish is one of Iran's free trade zones. Foreign travelers do not need a visa to visit the island, as travel permits are issued on arrival by Kish officials and are valid for up to 14 days.
With its mesmerizing nature and eye-catching urban landscapes, Kish has earned the title of the Bride of the Persian Gulf. Its authorities say the island is already a hub for Iranian travelers, but they say they seek to turn it into a regional tourist magnet. Yusuf Jalali from Kish Island.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A 78-year-old artist is making a comeback with a unique art installation on Governor's Island in the United States of America. One of its biggest features is the sound and creaking of moving chains.
There's a project that I proposed for a commission in St. Louis. The site of the commission was the area near the Mississippi River and the St. Louis courthouse. So I wanted to do a piece that addressed those areas, that, you know, the subjects. And of course, we have those areas in the Mississippi River, which is a place that you talk about the history of American commerce, but also we can talk about the history of slavery.
Charles Gaines wanted to highlight the role slavery played in building the economy of the United States. That's why he purposely used chains, and the sculptor pointedly faces the Statue of Liberty in New York City. The installation is roughly 30 meters long and activated by colossal chains that rotate on anchors. The installation is part of a three-chapter series called The American Manifest, Moving Chains. It will be kept for all to see until the summer of next year.
A Palestinian farmer has discovered an ancient Byzantine-era mosaic when preparing to plant an olive tree on his plot of land in the Gaza Strip. The farmer and his son have been carefully excavating the area for 3 months since spring. The pair dug out three patches, revealing glimpses of an ornate mosaic with intricate images of birds, flora, and tile patterns. Its full size is roughly 23 square meters. The discovery has set off excitement amongst archaeologists. Experts say it is one of the most well-preserved specimens, with precision in graphics and richness in colors. According to archaeologists, the mosaic pavement dates back to the 5th and 7th centuries. Last month, another Palestinian farmer found the rare stone sculpture while working on his land, which dates back to around 2500 BC.
If you have a sweet tooth, then this next bit of news is just for you. Visitors are now taking advantage of the expanded version of Cake Land, which is an immersive art gallery in the U.S. city of Los Angeles. The structure is meant to feel like a giant multi-layered cake. It's entirely made of artificial materials, but looks like if it's full of cherries, whipped cream, and layers of cake. Artist Scott Hoff says he used nearly a ton of pipe frosting, 120 mirrors, and thousands of cherries. Plus, he embedded thousands of crystals in the walls as a final touch. The artist says he chose to develop Cake Land after he noticed how much his artificial cake sculptures were welcomed by viewers.
So I chose cake because, number one, it's really beautiful. Number two, it's really fun to do. And number three, it engages the viewers in such a meaningful way.
Hoff says he never actually made a real cake before and has mainly followed his enthusiasm for fake food as the inspiration for this project. Visitors are able to walk through the cake, a labyrinth, and explore various rooms. While there is a lot of deliciousness and lightness of the cakes, visitors to this cake land can discover some interesting darker elements as they wander around. The art installation has continued to expand since it was founded by Hov in 2020. Robots are slowly but surely becoming part of everyday life, taking on human roles in different areas. Now, fast food restaurants can make French fries faster and better as a robot called Flippy 2 takes over the job.
When an order comes in through the restaurant system, it automatically spits out the instructions to Flippy. Takes a frozen product, fries it for the precise amount of time, and puts the finished product in the end. It does it faster, more accurately, more reliably, and happier than most humans do it.
Flippy 2 has been created in a robotic lab in California called MISO after 5 years of efforts by its developers. According to the project engineers, a really good understanding of the food science is needed to make sure the food quality is there, how different food sticks together, and how the temperature and heat affect it. The MISO CEO says the machine can cook several meals with different recipes simultaneously, removing the need for catering staff.
This technology utilizes a whole bunch of computer vision. There's cameras throughout the system, including right here we have these food identification cameras. The cameras not only guide the robot and tell it exactly where it is in space and how to move through this area, but also identifies the food type and it knows the recipe for each one.
The MISO CEO says tasks like the fry station are the kind that humans are most happy to afloat. The name Flippy comes from the original machine designed to flip burgers, which was not very useful for restaurants.
Freedom is an essential virtue that is valued not only by humans but animals as well, just like two eagle owls that have been released into the wild after being born in a Madrid zoo. The two owl twins were freed after months of training to survive in the nature. First, they were taken to a big aviary to develop the necessary skills, including those for hunting prey. The aviary is designed to have a similar environment to the local mountain range. Meantime, they need to gain muscle and come to a suitable weight. After passing various skill tests, the owls are released as part of Madrid Zoo's breeding program of night birds of prey. 7 eagle owls and 11 barn owls have been released since the program was launched in 2017. However, some of them flew back seeking shelter as they failed to adapt to the nature.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners. Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. We really welcome you all. Thank you so much for joining us today. And here are again some of the students of Sevier International School, Brother Fawad Haider, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Sayyid Ali Nasir. I really welcome you all. Salaam alaikum, and how are you? Fine?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Alhamdulillah, I'm good. Fawad?
Fine. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Hassan?
Fine, sir. How are you?
Everything all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. Ali Nasir? How about you?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Okay. That's great. That's great. So, brothers and sisters who are listening to us right now, today, inshallah, again, we'll be having two of the verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay? These two verses are our topic for today, and we will be, inshallah, working on the Tajweed rules in these two verses. And also, we'll have a short explanation. So, before we start, let me tell you what verses. Verses number 46 and 47. So I want you to turn to Surah Al-Baqarah, if you have your Quran with you, verse 46 and 47. Before we start, let's listen to these verses.
Yeah,
So, alhamdulillah, we listened. Nice recitation. Thank you so much. Now, I will be reciting, and brothers here will be, inshallah, listening and repeating after us. Make sure, brothers and sisters who are listening to us, as you listen, please repeat as well, okay? Ready, everyone?
Yes.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
يا بني إسرائيل اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين
اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأني فضلتكم على العالمين
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. In the previous verses, verse 45, Allah Almighty says, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ We were talking about خاشعين, yeah? خاشع is someone who is obedient. Someone who is humble, yeah? When it comes to follow the rules of Allah Almighty, they do not, for example, say no or say, like, they are not kind of frustrating, okay? Or kind of beating around the bush, okay? They just follow, yeah? It's for them, it's very easy, and they are humble, obedient, okay? Like Salat, indeed, it was kind of difficult for those who are not khashi, but for those who are khashi, Salat, doing prayer is not a difficult thing. Yes, they are always looking forward to hear the azan sound and then go and pray. Yeah? So Allah Almighty in the next ayah says, Who are khashi'in? Alladhina. Yadhunnuna. Dhan has two meanings. Doubt. It's something more than doubt. And also it means certain thing. Whenever you dhan something, okay, in Arabic you say dhan, it has two meanings. Either you have you believe in it, okay, there is no doubt, or sometimes you doubt about something, okay, so here it doesn't mean doubt, it means believing, being certain in something, okay, الَّذِينَ those خَاشِعِينَ are those who يَظُنُّونَ, those who are certain, okay, who are certain, who believe for sure, that أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ they will encounter their Lord, they will meet their Lord. Do we really meet our Lord? We do not meet our Lord like seeing His face because Allah Almighty doesn't have face. Okay, that's why we know Allah Almighty by His attributes. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, yeah? Al-Qadir, Al-Khaliq, Al-Bari. We know Allah Almighty by His attributes. Yes? Because we have a limitation of understanding. So that's why we can't. We have a long discussion, okay, and beliefs, okay, Islamic beliefs that you can find the answer there. So here, like for example, if someone is blind, if you take him to someone, okay, to meet someone, he is blind, he can't see the person he was going to meet, yes? But is it still called meeting or no? Yeah, yes. It's called meeting. Suppose yes. It's like that, okay? So we do not see our Lord by our eyes, but we can feel him. We can see his punishments and his rewards. So recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So it has a long discussion. So I really want you to refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
So, guys, الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. There is a tashdeed, right?
Yes.
Yes.
يَظُنُّونَ. So make sure you prolong the sound for two counts. يَظُنُّونَ. إِدْغَام also. يَظُنُّونَ. Yes, إِدْغَام. الَّذِينَ ذَال. And then pronunciation of the letter. ظَا. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ. Right? أَنَّهُمْ. Again, إِدْغَام. أَنَّهُمْ. Again, إِدْغَام. إدغام مثلين ميم plus ميم right فوال فوال yes. is so good at إدغام مثلين أنهم ملاقو ملاقو make sure there is a baby ألف on the top of لام that indicates this is prolonged for two count the same as ألف مد right
yes
it's called dagger ألف
yes
or the baby ألف
yes right?
we have also baby واو which also works as the father واو we have also baby يا which works as the father, yeah, okay, and baby Aleph as the father, Aleph, okay? They work the same. Yeah. Don't think like, oh, it's baby, so it doesn't prolong that sound, okay? It's just one count. No, again, it's two count. أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا long sound. رَبِّهِمْ heavy ra. رَبِّهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِلَيْهِ what sound is it? What mad is it?
Ilayleen.
Mad leen. MashaAllah, Ali Nasir. Wa annahum ilayhi raji'un. A baby alif again. Raji'un. Okay, make sure two counts. Okay, Hassan?
Yes.
So, Hassan, read this ayah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون.
أحسن. Thank you. Thank you. That was great. So next ayah. يا بني إسرائيل. There is a mad, but is the mad wajib? يا بني.
No.
Why? Because no. the hamza
is not in the
in that word. It's in the next yes. word. But the mad in the word إسرائيل. That one. It's wajib, right?
Wajib, yes.
Why, Fawad? Here it is one word. Okay? Here it is one word. Used as one word. Isra'il, when it's compound word, it's in the Hebrew language, I think. Okay? But not. Here it is used as one word, okay? Isra'il, it's mad wajib muttasil. Right? Hamza. Udhkuru. So, if you start from udhkuru, I said it already. So, you put a dhamma on the top of Hamzatul Wasl, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Udhkuru. Why? Because
the third letter is
the third letter has
a dhamma.
Udhkuru, not idhkuru, not adhkuru. Ni'mati yallati an'amtu. An'amtu. Nun sakin plus ayn. Ali Nasir, what rule is applied here?
Iqlab.
Iqlab.
No.
That's wrong, man.
Idhar.
No change, no merge, no?
Hide.
Just Idhar, do it.
Yes.
Read it. An'amtu alaykum. Wa anni. Again, Idgham. Wa anni. Right?
Yes.
Anni faddaltukum. Alal alameen. The letter that Fawad Haider has a lot of problem with it. Ayn. Can you say عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ for what?
عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ.
Oh, he has fixed it. MashaAllah, recite a salawat for him.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Okay. So, guys, that was all about the Tajweed rules. Since the Tajweed rules are getting so much easier for you, okay, we're not paying attention to simple ones, okay? Just the difficult ones we'll work on. So, if you had any questions, guys, you can ask me. But if you don't have, do you have any questions?
No, sir.
No. So, I really want you for the explanation, refer to the Tafsir book, inshallah, interpretations, okay? And also, for the Tajweed rules, listen to our audio again and again, inshallah, and practice. So, stay with us. Inshallah, we'll be here with you in the next sessions, okay? With the next verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thanks to Allah Almighty for giving us the chance. And thank you so much, IRIB English Radio. And also, thank you so much, Sevier International School. So, see you, inshallah. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools. فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli forces kill a Palestinian man after he allegedly rammed his car into a group of Israeli